It is 3 o'clock this Friday afternoon. How the hell are you? Are you well? I'm well. It's a beautiful day here in Salford. It's chilly, but it's absolutely gorgeous outside. I'm your BBG, Richie Allen, and for the next 90 minutes, maybe even 2 hours, you and I are going to talk about the news, Get in touch via the website richieallen.co.uk.
Uncensored, unfiltered, you're listening to Richie Allen on the world's most popular independent news radio show.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, if you remembered that I was going to be here today, do leave a comment via the website richieallen.co.uk. I hope that the streaming teasing problems have now gone away and you are finding it even very easy now to get onto the live stream after all the messing around last week. Streaming live on the website, on tunein.com, and more importantly, on fabradiointernational.com. It is the Richie Allen Show, a very unusual Friday programme. And that's because yesterday, my friend, my great friend, my beloved friend, Paul Ripley, and I went to the foosball. We did. My engineer, who has done more for the programme than anybody else ever, and who was in dire need himself of a good night out. I took him on the show, to see United versus Barcelona in the Europa League last night. We had a great time of it, did me and Paul. I climbed into bed at 12:30 a.m. this morning. It's been a long time. I'm 48 now. I'm not dead, like. There's life left in the old gammon yet, like. But it's been a long time since I went to bed so late. And then I got up at 5, which I always do, and got ready to take the puppies out to the park. So I'm kind of buzzing, really. I wouldn't dare say it's one of those things they teach you when they teach you how to broadcast. And they did a bad job teaching me, obviously. But they say don't ever claim to be tired or fatigued on the radio. The listener doesn't give an arse. Quite rightly. But I'm not. I'm kind of exhilarated this afternoon. Buzzing, so I am. So we had a good time and United did manage to beat Barcelona in a very exciting game. And that was lovely. Hence, I'm here with you on Friday afternoon. And as usual, there is no shortage of things to talk about. I've got a long list of things to chat about. You can, as I said, prompt me to talk about something entirely different to that which I will be talking about, and I will get into it. The old voice is a bit rough. Nothing to do with the game. I never scream and shout at football. I go regularly. I don't do that because I protect my voice. But we had a few beers, didn't we? Well, Paul didn't, but I did. And it doesn't. You're the worst for the wear, and then you're loud when you've had a few beers. You tend to be a bit louder, and then I'm deaf anyway, with the cans on my ears for many, many years. I'm a bit deaf, and that generally means that I can be a little bit loud sometimes for my sins. So yeah, great night out and good to be with you today. I wanted to start today with Ukraine. Why not? Because it is a year to the day since Russia invaded Ukraine. Have you witnessed any of this today? By this, I mean the UK media coverage of it. It might be similar in the US. It might be, although I doubt it, but the UK media has gone all in on the propaganda. And it is propaganda. Good versus evil. Ukraine is very, very good. Russia is very, very evil. The Ukrainian national anthem was sung on the steps of Downing Street, number 10 Downing Street, I should say, with Rishi Sunak there looking very somber, and his wife, I think. Was his wife there? Maybe not the banker. No, she's not a banker. No, he was the banker, Goldman Sachs. The wife is the heir, the billionaireess. She's the heir to billions, the wife. Yes, that's right. Anyway, Sunak was there. The Ukrainian ambassador and his wife were there. There was a minute's silence across the country. I wasn't aware of it. I certainly wasn't silent. At 11, to remember all of those who have died in the conflict. Like I said, relentless coverage. Charles, the king, allegedly old jug ears, he's piped up about it. He has said the people of Ukraine have suffered unimaginably. This is a message he put out to mark this anniversary. He said they were remarkably courageous and resilient, the Ukrainian people. Thousands have been killed or injured in the conflict. There's nothing funny about that. Of course, I don't make light of that. Death is terribly wrong, irrespective of who pulls the trigger. 11 o'clock, the minute silence. Rishi Sunak today is urging allies to move faster in arming Ukraine. He's attending a meeting of the G7. Nobody is pushing for talks and any resolution. Nobody. Nay one. Squat. Nobody doing that. Remember the scamdemic? A little bit of pain now. Shut society down. Economic hardship. You know, it'll be tough, but it's a sacrifice we need to make to beat COVID and keep people safe. That was a load of bollocks, as is the claim with Ukraine. Yes, the economy is in the toilet. Yes, your energy bills are unaffordable. And yes, food prices are shocking. Yes, you are understandably terrified about going under. Did you hear Sarah speak to this programme on Wednesday during the phone-in? Lovely woman, family of five, four people working, struggling to make ends meet, very worried about that. Many people like Sarah. It's no consolation when you're in that situation, but that's what's going on. But listen, don't worry about it. Yes, you're hanging on by a thread, but we must defeat the evil Russian Empire and Putin the Impaler. Vlad the Impaler, we've got to beat them. We cannot have a settlement. No, we must not stop the bloodshed. He must be driven from Ukraine. Send more tanks. Send more Leopard tanks in through Poland. Send more planes too. Boris Johnson is about the most ridiculous human being who has ever held a public office. You know that, I know that too. Here he is speaking to Mark Austin, Sky News. Johnson, first of all, you'll hear the reporter.
What would the consequences be, do you think, if China actively supported Russia in this war by supplying weaponry?
Now, there you go. There are claims that the Chinese government is going to replenish the Russian munition supply. Yes. No hard evidence that this is happening or will happen, but the question is being posed, what will we do if the Chinese start arming the Ruskies?
I think it would be a historic mistake by the Chinese. I was very concerned to see what Wang Yi was doing yesterday in Moscow. I think, you know, it would be a big mistake. Why does China want to be contaminated by association with Putin?
Contaminated.
Who's revealed himself to be this gangster and adventurer.
What?
Putin, who's revealed himself to be this gangster and adventurer.
Gangster and adventurer? I felt like a bit of a daft prick later on because I didn't understand, me with the English degree, that an adventurer isn't just somebody who goes off looking for adventures, but it's also a person willing to take risks or use dishonest methods for personal gain, hence a political adventurer.
Putin, who's revealed himself to be this gangster and adventurer.
Yeah, I thought Johnson was just an idiot. He is an idiot, but the term adventurer is appropriate in that context. Madman speaks, Boris Johnson. Let's hear more.
I think it would be a big mistake by China, but what it shows is the urgency of us giving the Ukrainians what they need to succeed this year and to make sure that 2023 is the year of victory.
And what about Putin? Is the desired outcome regime change in Moscow?
Regime change, says Mark Austin, the intrepid Sky reporter.
No, I think it's very important, Mark, that we don't...
No, says Johnson, as if there's any possibility of that. You know, as if the UK and the US and their allies could remove Vladimir Putin from the Kremlin. Yeah, good luck.
You know, we've got to stop talking about Putin. He loves us talking about himself and about what's going to happen in the Kremlin and about his nuclear weapons and all that. We should focus on our Ukrainian friends and on what we can do to help them to defeat this appalling invasion of their territory. And so far, they have overcome the odds. Time and again, they've proved that they can do it, and they will do it. This is basically a war for independence now, Mark. Wars for independence only end one way. And with the US, the UK, all our friends now are very, very strongly in support of Ukraine. I think they can and they will win. But what I'm saying is, let's not delay. If we're going to give them the kit they need sooner or later, if that's the choice, sooner or later, let's give it sooner.
Let's give it sooner, says Boris Johnson. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going indefinitely. Who benefits here? I would argue, the architects of the Great Reset agenda. Do you have any sympathy for my position that even the seemingly... There are no good guys, of course, not in global politics. It doesn't matter where. But Putin, Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, and his claims about, you know, promises made at the end of the Cold War, Ukraine and Nazis and all of that. Do you have sympathy with that, or do you have sympathy with my point of view that even Vladimir Putin himself and his allies are controlled vicariously or otherwise by the puppet masters who control Johnson and Sunak and Biden? You don't have to agree with that. It's just my opinion. Do you have any sympathy with that point of view, or do you see it differently? Please let me know. RichieAllen.co.uk. Because who benefits? The Great Reset agenda controllers benefit. And here's something that Samuel Beckett and Arthur Adamov would have loved this morning. The Theatre of the Absurd. Good morning, Britain, this morning. Beckett and Adamov would have watched this and thought, why didn't we think of this? You won't believe this. If this doesn't make you laugh, if this doesn't make you contemplate or even evaluate, consider that everything is completely scripted. This is a complete charade. Everything you see around you. Listen to this. Guess who was on Good Morning Britain this morning, live from Malibu? You know where Malibu is? It's where Malibu Stacy comes from. It's California. Guess who was on GMB this morning? It was only Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill. Luke Skywalker. Yes, I am your father. That Luke. Empire Strikes Back. He was on. What the hell has Mark Hamill got to do with Ukraine? Let's find out.
Attention. The air alert is over. May the force be with you.
What? What was that? What was that?
Attention. The air alert is over. May the force be with you.
I don't know what was going on there, but Ben Shepherd from Good Morning Britain, he has the answers.
That is none other than the original Luke Skywalker, of course, the actor Mark Hamill, who has extended his support to Ukrainians by voicing that alert on an app which helps keep the citizens safe from aerial strikes. It's amazing, isn't it?
What? So Mark Hamill has made an app warning people about air raids coming to an end, or telling them they're coming to an end. So they're sitting there, right? The air raid has been going off and they think they're being bombed, but they know it's safe to go outside when they hear this from Mark Hamill.
Attention, the air alert is over. May the force be with you.
That is none other than the original Luke Skywalker.
I couldn't believe my effing ears. Let's hear more.
Of course, the actor Mark Hamill, who has extended his support to Ukrainians by voicing that alert on an app which helps keep the citizens safe from aerial strikes. It's amazing, isn't it?
Wonderful.
It is. The Star Wars legend has also been working with President Zelensky to raise money for more drones and joins us now.
He's been working with President Zelensky, Luke Skywalker, to raise money for more drones. We'll hear about that in a few minutes, about raising money for drones, Luke Skywalker. Holy Jesus.
From Los Angeles. It must have been extraordinary for those people when they first heard that voice to know reassuringly that the air raid was over in some...
It must have been extraordinary for the people sitting in the buildings waiting for the end of the air raid to hear Luke Skywalker say, "It's over. May the force be with you." God, they must have been pleased.
Such a terrifying situation, and it must have been extraordinary for you to know that your voice and one of...
How can she say this without laughing? How?
The many characters that you played, such a huge one,
The many characters. Name another character played by Mark Hamill. Haven't a clue.
Able to give that reassurance, Mark.
You gave them that reassurance, Mark, that it was safe to go outside, Luke Skywalker.
It's so humbling because I've never done anything that had such importance before. You know, I support charities. I have done all my life. You know, you try and give back when you've been so lucky to be able to do what you like. But never to this extent. I mean, when my business people said that President Zelensky contacted us, I, I said, make sure it's not somebody pranking you. I don't get contacted by world leaders.
Oh, the irony of this. Make sure you're not being pranked, but you are being pranked, Mark. That's the irony, you dickhead.
Hello? But, you know, I, like everyone else, you know, I watched this unfold a year ago in shock and dismay. I mean, it's horrific to see a sovereign nation invaded by a hostile foreign government. It's just...
What? It's horrific to see a sovereign country invaded by a hostile foreign government? Mark, you're in the United States, dipstick. You don't remember 2003, 2004? No? All right.
Just, so when he asked me to do what he wanted me to do, you know, I didn't have to think about it for a second.
Of course you didn't. Of course, because your career is over, your movie career. You've got F all on at the moment. So when your agent said, do you want to do a voice for an app that will tell people it's okay, the air raid is over, you jumped at it. But then he was asked to be an ambassador to help raise money to get some more drones for the Ukrainians.
He asked me to be ambassador to what he called the Army of Drones. President
Star Wars 12, the Army of Drones.
President said that they were crucial in that they are their eyes in the sky, and they can transmit video in real time without the operator being detected, and they just, you know, they protect the people. So, and specifically, he mentioned that they were RQ-35 Hydrogen reconnaissance drones.
RQ-35 hydrogen reconnaissance drones. R2D2, RQ-35. You get this?
Not lethal drones. But our goal is to... Each one of these things costs $150,000. So we're aiming to get 10, which would be $1.5 million. And we're closing in on our fourth drone. With six to go.
We've got six to go. We're closing in on four. And then there's a website where you can go and help Luke Skywalker find some drones for the Ukrainians. And on the website, there's a poster. And the poster is a mock-up of one of the Star Wars films. Just listen to this batshit crazy stuff.
I've posted not only the website so you can find out how you can get one of these posters that they created for us. Have you seen this poster?
Yeah, it's
Have you seen the poster, dear listener? A poster to do with Ukraine fighting the big Russian Empire and the drones done up like X-Wings from Star Wars. Have you seen this? Wait till you hear the conduct of the presenter, Ben Shepherd.
Mark,
shut up. I'm the presenter. I've got something to say. Mark,
let me tell you.
Let me tell you, Mark.
Sea of Star Destroyers.
Yeah. So, Mark, my wife, when we are sort of obviously huge supporters of Ukrainians.
Of course you are.
Here. And my wife bought this poster. We have this poster.
You have the poster. This is Ben Shepherd now. He presents a game show in the afternoons as well. It's like an amusement arcade game show. I can't think of the name of it. Listen to this horse shit now.
At home.
We have the poster, Mark.
Framed in one of our rooms. It's the most extraordinary poster. I walk past it most mornings and think about what's going on. The X-Wing there looking...
He walks past the poster every morning and he thinks about what's going on in Ukraine. Ben Shepherd.
Looking at that Imperial fighter.
Yes.
The tiny little X-Wing. It's such a powerful image, isn't it?
Tiny little... Of course, because the X-Wing is the Ukraine against this massive armada.
The Death Star, that is Russia.
Of fully weaponized death machines.
Yeah.
So it's extraordinary, the David and Goliath aspect.
Yeah, the David and Goliath aspect. Samuel Beckett and Arthur Adamov, if you brought them back from the dead, that is the theatre of the absurd. Mark Hamill, contacted by the Ukrainian stand-up comic guy who is allegedly the president there, and he was asked to do this first of all.
Attention, the air alert is over. May the force be with you.
Oh, fucking hell. How could anybody read that out? How could the presenters interview him there and not think their legs were being pulled? That's crazy. It's 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. It's drive time on the Richie Allen Show. It's not really the Richie Allen Show, is it, this today? But we'll say it is. It's good to be with you, to be with you good.
You're listening to your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk.
And it's on fabradiointernational.com. It's on the TuneIn app too. Thankfully, we're back up and running. There's so much more. Let's stay briefly with Ukraine, very briefly, before we move on. Do you ever think you'd hear stuff like that? Well, we did, didn't we? The theatre of the absurd. Media gatekeeping today. Gatekeeping today for the agenda, for the propaganda about Ukraine and Russia. I just can't resist hearing this one more time.
Attention, the air alert is over. May the force be with you.
Presumably every Ukrainian man, woman and child speaks English. I don't know. Anyway, the media is gatekeeping. Nobody must get onto the mainstream media to put the other side of this across. That is, that things are not as simplistic as good versus evil. Okay, Ukraine rebellion, Princess Leia, and Russia, Darth Vader and the Death Star. That's what the media wants you to believe. We know things are different. They do not want anybody getting on to offer another point of view. A guy phoned Nick Ferrari on LBC Radio today to say basically there is more to this Ukraine-Russia conflict than the media is letting on. It isn't as simplistic as good versus evil. Wait until you hear the conduct of the presenter, a guy called, as I just said, Nick Ferrari.
What it is they don't buy into the US stroke NATO narrative on the war. And
Listen to what he says now. He says they, meaning the Russians, they don't buy into the US NATO claims about the war. Right, listen.
What it is they don't buy into the US stroke NATO narrative on the war.
The narrative, right, good. Let him speak, right, but no.
And
what is that narrative?
The narrative is that Russia invaded a year ago and that, without any proper historical context to it.
Because there is a historical context to it. Russia didn't just decide because Russia was bored shitless. Tell you what we'll do. There's not much going on. The telly has always been shit here in Russia. Let's invade Ukraine. The invasion isn't right. I'm not justifying it. The killing of people is terrible. It's wrong in all contexts except for self-defense. And Russia couldn't claim self-defense, I don't think, by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think. You might say something differently, right? But there is context. There is historical context. But we can't allow such a conversation.
Having promised they wouldn't.
Let me just explain.
There'll be no explaining.
There'll be no explaining, says the rotund, gelatinous little prick that is Nick Ferrari.
No, oh, okay. I'm getting a little bit tired who people who want to support a regime that factually it is known.
He's not supporting anybody. He phoned in to say that your good versus evil narrative is nonsense. There is context here going back a long time. He didn't say he in any way supported Russia.
Allow soldiers to rape women and abduct children.
And he never said he tolerated or condoned the raping of anybody or the abducting of anybody else.
NATO raped in Afghanistan.
Why don't you just look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself this morning, as we look at a total of 300,000 plus lives lost, Ukrainian and Russian side, why you would reach for the phone to call LBC and start saying that Putin is being in some way, shape or form unfairly treated.
He didn't say that at all, you fat, useless prick. He rang up to say that your good versus evil narrative is simplistic, it's infantile, it is not journalistic, it is intellectually fucking redundant. He rang up to say there is context, the Russians have an issue with NATO and the United States. I'll call him that again. It's really immature of me to do it, but he is a fat, useless prick, Nick Ferrari. In every sense of the word, he did not ring up to justify the murder or the rape of anybody. He rang up because you're embarrassing yourself. The media is an embarrassment. It's a propagandistic tool, a bootlick for the fucking agenda. That's all you are. It isn't good versus evil. Right versus wrong. There's a lot more to it. This gets worse, by the way.
He's a brutal dictator who picked a war that he's going to lose and his troops behave in an almost subhuman way. Why, for the love of all that's holy, would you seek to support them? And I bet anything you like now, Chris, we're going
to
hear about how Britain behaves in the same way. Bet that's what it's going
to
be. Here we go.
Can you allow me to speak?
Yeah, here we go. I bet it's going to be we behave in the same way. Go ahead.
Oh, no, thank you ever so much.
Go on.
basically, India and China have got long experience of, you know...
No, that's not answering the question. No. When you got up in the morning and you look yourself in the mirror, ask yourself, why am I supporting a dictator whose troops rape grandmothers?
I'm not supporting Putin.
Why are you taking his side then? Why are you talking about the invasion that he said would never take place? Why? Ask yourself why. Answer it now.
US troops were going in.
There you go. I knew it. I thought it would be the UK, but in fact it was the US. Bloody well knew it.
US advisors.
I bloody well knew that. What? I knew you were going to do that.
Where's Ofcom here? There are very strict rules and regulations laid down by the regulator, the broadcast media regulator Ofcom, that you can't carry on in the manner this guy Ferrari is carrying on. I mean, this is an open and shut case. The guy should report him. It's a very simple process online. Report him to Ofcom. This is garbage, isn't it? Dressed up as journalism. And it gets worse again.
Because that is the futility of your lame argument.
No.
You're banned.
You're banned.
Okay, no, listen to me. Listen to me. And I hate to do it on such a grim anniversary. You are banned from listening to this show. Okay? And I'm glad you love it. You can listen to all the other shows. If I ever catch you listening again...
Well, if I ever catch you listening to me again, what?
I will take serious action because I am sick and tired to my bloody...
He's threatened a guy now.
...bloody back teeth of people trying to pretend that this is anything but an attack on the Ukraine people, the whole idea of Ukraine nation. That is what it is. Listen to the rest of the station. Don't ever listen to me.
He threatened a guy. The guy should know, by the way, that LBC broadcasts in Leicester Square, and I'm sure that Nick Ferrari has to come and go, you know. You wouldn't threaten me like that. I'd be coming to have a word with you. Not to be violent now, but just to put it up to you. I'm not advocating violence, but if I was that guy, I would go and see Nick Ferrari and ask him to speak to him like that again. Hi, Nick, I'm the guy you spoke to the other morning on the radio about Russia. Speak to me in that way again now, face to face. What a scumbag. This is the media. I never saw this coming. I spoke about this many times before. You know, this Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity shit that we saw in the US in the 1990s. This commentary replacing journalism. And this thuggish, loutish behaviour by guys like Nick Ferrari. Again, a useless, fat, gelatinous, creepy, worthless human being. Unbelievable. Guy rings up to say it's not good versus evil, there's context, and he has to put up with that. Ofcom, it's as simple as that. Report the bastard. I mean, look, you're probably not going to get anywhere. But you never know. Once in a blue moon, you know. Strange things do happen. Nick Ferrari, that is your media in 2023. And Gordon Brown, Gordon Bennett, Gordon Brown, the former Prime Minister of this country, again, Samuel Beckett, Adamoff, would be looking at this thinking, I tell you what, this beats everything. Theatre of the absurd. Gordon Brown, you're not going to believe it, dear listener, is calling for Vladimir Putin to be sent to The Hague for war crimes. Yeah, I nearly deafened myself there. Yeah, Gordon Brown is calling for Vladimir Putin to be taken to The Hague, or, in the event that he cannot be relocated to The Hague, that he be tried for war crimes in absentia. Gordon Brown, I know you can't make this stuff up, can you?
He has managed to survive some of the sanctions so far, but he is severely weakened. The key thing, and this is why I'm supporting this judicial action, to bring him to trial in The Hague and to say he is a war criminal, guilty of the crime of aggression. The key is to persuade the whole of the world that this is a crime that is completely unacceptable in the modern...
Can you believe you're listening to this?
...modern world. It is possible to imagine, in his absence, Putin being tried in a few weeks' time for the crime of aggression. It's adding to our weaponry, if you like, the military and the material and the moral support.
It's possible to try him in his absence, as Gordon Brown. Tell you what, Gordon, I'm all for it, as long as you and that evil bastard mate of yours, Tony Blair, as long as you, if you go along with it, if you say, right, what's good for the goose, basically. 3 million people killed in Iraq by you, by Blair, and by Alistair fucking Campbell. You should be hanging from your ankles in the Tower of London, so that a parade of widows can walk past every day and piss into your open mouths. Murderers. Genocidal maniacs. And you're calling for Putin to be sent to The Hague. And there might be a case for Vladimir Putin to be sent to The Hague to answer for the crimes of his soldiers in Ukraine. There might very well be a case for Zelensky to be sent to The Hague for the crimes committed by Ukrainian soldiers when they've captured Russian soldiers. All this stuff is out there on various websites. You know, when you have a war situation, both sides or every side commits atrocities. It's the nature of it. So yeah, Gordon, yeah, I've no problem with that, but why don't you give yourself up and go to The Hague and accept you should be on trial for the murder of 3 million Iraqis and the rest? Mad times. Shall we give Rod Stewart, or Sir Rod Stewart, if you please, the last word on Ukraine? Again, theatre of the absurd. Rod is in London today. To be fair to him, he's backing Fair Play for Nurses and Doctors. In fact, he's backing Fair Pay for Nurses and Doctors, to be fair to Rod. And he's also paying for a day's worth of MRI scans out of his own pocket. Very noble. He phoned into Sky News last month, you might have seen this, to say he would do that very thing because of the big NHS backlogs, because of COVID and all of that bollocks when they stopped treating everything else. Lots of people, hundreds of thousands of people waiting for scans. Rod Stewart said, I'll tell you what, I'll pay for a day's worth of scans and hopefully some other millionaires might do the same thing. Well done, Rod. But Sarah Jane Mee from Sky caught up with him today. And he had plenty to say, he did. And Ukraine did come up. She first of all talks to him about his generosity for the MRI scan.
But you're in a fortunate position, right? And you were upfront about that. You said you can afford to do this, so you are. But you do think that's not sustainable. It shouldn't come to this, should it? It shouldn't take Sir Rod Stewart coming in on his white horse to provide scans for people.
White rolls.
Yeah, white roller.
Whatever it takes. No, it shouldn't. You know, we've got to sort this out. We're in dire straits here. I mean, if I am going to get political, I think we should send the Ukrainians some F-16s.
He laughs then. If I am going to get political, I think we should send the Ukrainians some F-16s. He says, that's funny, isn't it? What else?
That's up to you, Prime Minister.
Yeah, you can't sort that one out, no?
Or wish I could.
Yeah. He's not got that much money, Rod. I don't know how much those planes cost. Probably about a quarter of a billion, do they, each one? He's not quite got that cost.
I mean, I've been supporting them for years.
He's been supporting them, Ukraine, for years.
The Ukrainians. On stage, I have the flag.
He has a flag on stage.
And I wear a blue and yellow suit.
He wears a blue and yellow suit.
And do a song.
And he does a song.
And dedicate it to them. And feel very...
And he dedicates it to the Ukrainians. They must be delighted. They can listen to that song when they're in the air raid shelters, listen to the song and sing along with the song, knowing that Rod is wearing a blue and yellow suit. And then when the air raid is over, Mark Hamill tells them, you can leave now and may the force be with you.
Strongly about it. Because if the Ukrainians lose... It's the end of civilization as we know it.
What? What was that? If the Ukrainians lose, it's the end of civilization as we know it? Really? It couldn't be that bad, is it? Rod?
You know, it's all over.
It's all over?
Yeah, you see...
Somebody tell Greta Thunberg that. Don't worry about it, Greta. Forget about climate change. That's the least of your worries. If Ukraine loses, it's the end of civilization as we know it. It's all over. Says Rod Stewart.
F-16s, please.
Yeah. F-16s, please.
You say you don't want to get political, but everyday life is political, isn't it?
Everyday life is political, says Sarah Jane Mee on Sky News. The time is 27 minutes to 4 o'clock, so it is. This is... I don't know what the hell this is. It's the Friday show with me, Richie Allen, broadcasting live on Fab Radio 2, Manchester, richieallen.co.uk. And the programme goes out on tunein.com. Just look for Richie Allen Show on TuneIn.com and download the app if that's your thing. This is Rhythm of My Heart. Rod Stewart, God bless him. Send in them F-16s, Rod. Good man. Rod Stewart and Rhythm of My Heart. I should remember the name of the album. It's Vagabond something or other. Decent album. 90s or mid-80s. Mid-80s, I think. It's a You're Richie Allen Show Friday's programme. It's lovely. It's lovely to be here.
Ask not what the BBG can do for you, but what you can do for the BBG. Support the Richie Allen Show now at richieallen.co.uk.
Do support Your Richie Allen Show. Hi to Scottish Al, who says, Rod says he's been supporting Ukrainians for years. Is he referring to the Ukrainians in Donbass and the east of the country, or are they not classed as Ukrainians anymore? Good kesht, Al. Good question. Gabriel says, heard Gordon Brown this morning. It's unbelievable. The hypocrisy of these scum. Unfortunately, people listen to them. Ferrari is a disgusting gimp. They gained all that confidence during COVID, then became the worst kind of power-tripping, brainless wee dictators. It is astonishing they are not turfed off the air for talking to people like that. That was a breach of Ofcom regulations, Ferrari's conduct with the caller. As sure as I'm speaking with you, I know these regulations inside out. It's my job to know them. It's disgusting behaviour. It's the sort of stuff you saw Bill O'Reilly carry on with in the 90s on Fox News. It's outlandish in a civilised society. It's outlandish that any journalist would do that, would deliberately try to misrepresent the caller and then insult him and threaten him on the air. It's astonishing, really. Pietro says, never one to be starstruck in any case, but I am disappointed by the virtuous arrogance displayed by so many celebrities these days. Good point. David says, screw the F-16s, send in the X-Wings. Hi to John Taylor, who says, them perpetuating Ukraine definitely fits in with the depopulation wish. That's John. Thank you, John. Wayne says, millions suffering here in the UK and in need. We do not need to be getting bombed to be suffering hardship. And the deliberately brought about war in Ukraine is aiding to everyone's hardship. Wars for independence only end in victory, said Boris Johnson. According to Wayne, all US presidents, apart from possibly one, are of British royal blood. So how did that turn out, says Wayne. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate that. Hi to Pandora, who mentioned David Prowse. Yes, David Prowse was the Green Cross man on British telly. David Prowse was the actor inside the Darth Vader costume, wasn't he? And the voice was James Earl Jones. I think that's pretty well known, isn't it? James Earl Jones, the black actor with the amazing voice. Wonderful broadcast voice, James Earl Jones. Yes. Pandora reckons Ferrari will be sacked for that and deserve it. Pandora, if it's up there, in the immortal words of Les Dennis, I'll give you the money myself. I doubt he'll be sacked. I doubt it. I'm not for sacking people, Pandora, even if they are as disgusting, if they are as scurrilous as Nick Ferrari. I'm to my bone marrow, I am a trade unionist. I'm not for sacking them. I'm for giving people due process. You know, I worked alongside the programme controller at WLRFM in Waterford, and he was responsible for the conduct and the output of all the of the station's programmes. Sacking people, no, but give people a kick in the arse when they need it. I would be hauling Nick Ferrari into the office and I would be giving him a final warning. You don't speak to listeners like that. This is a listener, dickhead. You know, this guy is listening. Listeners pay the bills. And he's got an opinion. And it's your job to listen to his opinion, put the other side of it to him, then let him come back in so that he can extrapolate basically out of, you know, what you just said. He can take something out of that and then he can follow up. But to be threatening them and telling them they can't listen to the programme and all of this sort of stuff, do it again, fat boy, and you're out the door by your ankles. But I'm not for sacking people straight away. But then I know you're going to tell me that the guy has got previous. I'm sure he has got previous. Jenny says, when you think there's nobody worse than James O'Brien, you hear Nick Ferrari. That's right. Hi to Brambo. Ferrari, he says, Dick Austin Metro, more like. Hi to Kiki, who says, you crack me up with your colourful adjectives, re Ferrari. I'm glad somebody's laughing. Thanks, Kiki. Hi to Paul, who says, if you call Ferrari fat, you'll find yourself as cancelled as Roald Dahl, mate. But you know what, Paul? I think I read somewhere today that Penguin, because of the backlash, when Penguin announced that it was going to alter the text of some of Roald Dahl's books to be more woke, to be less offensive. Well, there was obviously a legitimate outcry against such blatant, silly censorship. Did I read today, please help me out, because I do not have a producer or a researcher. Hasn't Penguin decided now to produce two different versions? Like the original one, with all the nasty stuff in there. There's no nasty stuff in there. But the original books, as they were originally published, and there are woke versions. I think I read that today. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm often wrong. There's no doubt about that. Another Paul says, so Hancock calls for a 1 minute silence for Ukraine. Do you think that is former Health Secretary Matt Hancock? Do you think he'll have one for all the OAPs that got pumped full of midazolam and met an early end, asks Paul. I doubt it, Paul, but that's a point well made. Wendy asks, do all the Ukrainians speak English to be able to understand the message? Brilliant, Wendy. That did occur to me as well. I don't know. It's a good one. We should try and find out, research it, and find out what percentage of the Ukrainian population would have a foreign language, would have any foreign language. I'm sure they speak Russian, right? I'm sure those dialects are very similar. But many of them speak English. Why are we talking about this? Well, because very helpfully, Luke Skywalker has recorded a message to tell people that the air raid is over and they can go back to their daily business.
Attention, the air alert is over. May the force be with you.
Just can't believe it. I'm still shaking my head. Indeedy. William Gale. Hi, William. The balloon was a plot by the Chinese to carpet bomb America with geography books. So that they, the Americans, can pinpoint on a map all the countries they are bombing the shit out of. That's a beautiful comment, William. Now, I have never subscribed to the theory that people living and people born and people educated in the United States, that they are any more thick than the average person. I don't believe that. But we know that because it's such a vast country, and we know because of the news networks they use, they consume, they know very little about what's going on outside the United States. So that's a grotesque generalization, maybe, because you will hear listeners from the United States, they will phone in this program and they will be brilliant on geopolitical events. You'll have people like Spiro come on, Maria Heller, brilliant. So look, it's a generalization, but they tend not to know what's going on. And quite correctly, William, geographically, the knowledge is usually not too good either. Hi to Ardle, who says, is it just me or does that dipstick Mark Hamill sound like Bill Gates? Hang on a second now. Let's have a listen. Does he?
It's so humbling because I've never done anything that had such importance before.
Not sure about it. Maybe. Listen, it's in the ear of the beholder. Maybe. I don't know. Hi to Benny, who says, send more lightsabers to Ukraine. That's right. Send more of those creatures that Luke Skywalker and Han Solo took a ride into the snow on. What were they called? Tauntauns, were they? Do you remember Luke Skywalker went off into the snow at the beginning of The Empire Strikes Back, and it was freezing, and it got very cold, and he fell into a hypothermia, and Han Solo turned up on a Tauntaun, I think. Send more Tauntauns to the Ukraine. Yes, good idea. It's vaudeville. Jenny says, I can't say 100% whether or not Putin is controlled, but I would support him before I would support Zelensky and Biden, or rather their handlers, says Jenny. That's a fair comment too. No doubt about that. Keep the comments coming in. It's richieallen.co.uk. It is my website. That's where you can reach me. Comment live. It's 14 minutes to the top of the hour. Indeedy. Now, Kate Forbes says that this is a Scottish National Party politician. She's an MSP, member of the Scottish Parliament. And Kate Forbes has thrown her hat into the ring, to use a terrible cliche, to become the next leader of the SNP because Nicola Sturgeon resigned. She was brought down by the trannies. No, she wasn't. She wasn't. She was brought down by idiocy, by thinking that it's a good idea to send men who think they are women into women's prisons. So she's gone. Now there is a contest, and Kate Forbes is a Christian, so she sees things a bit differently than the ridiculously woke Nicola Sturgeon. And she has lost some support in her bid to be the new First Minister, effectively, because if she is appointed Scottish National Party leader, she will become the First Minister of Scotland. And she's losing support because she said she would have voted against gay marriage if she had been an MSP back in 2014. Now, she's gone onto social media to say, look, I was kind of misunderstood. You know, I'm saying I have views because I'm a Christian, but I wouldn't want to change any laws. Gay marriage is legal and that's fine. And even if I wanted to change it, I couldn't change it and I don't want to change it, blah, blah, blah. But they're coming at this woman from all angles. She's a member of the Free Church of Scotland. That sounds Presbyterian to me. But then, again, I know very little about these things. She said she believed that having a child outside of marriage was wrong. according to her religious beliefs. And she said these things when she was interviewed on Monday and Tuesday of this week. So there has been an outcry with some Scottish politicians, well, Scottish politicians from every party, saying that if you have those views, you're not fit to be First Minister and all of that old bollocks. Do you know who picked up this story today? Well, only James O'Brien at LBC. Don't panic, this will all be over very, very quickly. O'Brien wanted to get into this. She said, by the way, I will uphold the laws that have been won as a servant of democracy. She reiterated, I wouldn't be trying to roll back these laws. Gay marriage is legal, happy days for the gays. Not my cup of tea, but I wouldn't be trying to do anything to change that. I would seek to enhance the rights of everybody to live in a way which enables them to flourish. I firmly believe in the inherent dignity of each human being, as it underpins all ethical and political decisions I make. Fair enough. James O'Brien, LBC. Again, don't panic, this won't be long. He wanted to get into this today because it's a wonderful opportunity to virtue signal and to display, like a peacock, how wonderfully tolerant and accepting and inclusive James O'Brien really is.
Now, we've talked to a lot of religious homophobes over the years on the programme.
What? You've talked to who? Who have you talked on your programme again? Who?
Now, we've talked to a lot of religious homophobes over...
That's an oxymoron. Straight out of the straight out of the park. Straight out of the gate. That is an oxymoron. A religious homophobe. Religious people are not scared of gays. They just think that homosexuality is a sin. They're not scared of gay people. You can't be a religious homophobe. That is an oxymoron. Why do you think homosexuality is a sin? Because my God tells me that. Not my God. No, I don't have a God. Eric Cantona at one time, I worshipped at the feet of Eric at the altar of Le King, but not anymore. Let him go on. Let's see where he goes with this, O'Brien.
Over the years on the programme. And they, in fact, we spoke to one earlier this week. It was one of the many clips to go viral this week.
He loves himself. He's had many clips that went viral this week, James O'Brien.
And it was interesting because he, unfortunately, still subscribed to the school of thought that it was somehow his religious duty to describe gay people as sinners.
What? He say that again. That was an interesting turn of phrase.
Now, his religious duty to describe gay people as sinners, or to describe gay sex as abhorrent or sinful. She's not doing that. I guess I'm wondering whether she has found a way to successfully have her cake and eat it.
Has Kate Forbes, the Christian who wants to be Scottish First Minister, has she found her way, or found a way to have her cake and eat it? What does he mean by that? Has she found a way to preserve the views that she holds dear to herself and remain in politics? I think that's what he's saying.
So she's subscribing to views that are pretty gross.
Like what? Like, she believes that homosexuality is a sin, and she says she would prefer that people waited until they were married to have children. This is a pretty common Christian belief. This is Christian doctrine, essentially. It always has been. Where was O'Brien educated? As far as I understand, he was adopted by a Catholic family. Surely he knows this shit, like. This is basic Catholicism 101, right? Homosexuality is a sin. Living with another man, if you're a man, or a woman, if you're a woman, is a sin. And you won't get into heaven. It's what we were taught when we were going to school and when we went to church.
You know, the idea that if you're gay, you can't get married. It's the definition of inequality. This is inequality, absolutely enshrined inequality.
This guy is as thick as mince. I mean, I hear a lot of very stupid radio presenters because of the nature of the job I do. But this guy is galactically stupid. Gay sex is legitimate. When people like Kate Forbes are asked about, excuse me, gay marriage is legal and laws against sodomy expired or were cut down or were scrapped many years ago, right? Right. Christians like Kate Forbes and others have never said that they desire to change the law. The law is as the law is. Gay people can get married in a civil ceremony, and I'm all for that, by the way. How dare any man or woman say that you shouldn't get married because I believe in God and God says it's wrong. That's bollocks. You're entitled to believe in your God, and you're entitled to think that, if I'm a gay man, that I'm living in sin and that I might not get to heaven because I'm gay. But we'll get married if we want. The law says so. So O'Brien is galactically stupid, because this is a non-story. Gay people can get married. He's just annoyed, O'Brien, that she can hold these views as a Christian and not be exiled from public life, which is what he wants to happen.
Which most religions have had at various points in their evolution, and most still have as well in some corners. There's plenty of people in the Anglican community who would subscribe to some of these thoughts.
Right, okay.
She's saying that she holds these beliefs. I'm saying that if she didn't have religious cover for these beliefs, she would be a bigot.
All right, so if she didn't have religious cover, so he's implying now that Kate Forbes is a liar, or that her faith is somehow insincere or lacks sincerity. You see, this is dangerous shit, this, and I'm not a Christian. I'm not religious, never have been, never will be, I don't imagine. But this is dangerous Orwellian shit now. Questioning somebody as to whether they are using the claim of faith to cover what he describes as repugnant, unacceptable, intolerable views. This is very dangerous. I think, maybe I'm overstating it. If you think I am, drop me a message. I'll read your comments out verbatim. You know, using it as a cover. She says she would have voted against gay marriage because she believes marriage is for men and women. And the kids are better off in families where there's a marriage between a man and a woman. Let's hear a little bit more. There isn't much more.
Saying that gay people should be treated differently from straight people.
She's never said that.
Saying that children born out of wedlock should be looked upon differently from children born within wedlock.
And this is disgusting because she never said that either. This is taking what she said and lying about it, not to put too fine a point on it. She never said that children born out of wedlock should be treated differently. Never. I've looked for the source quote today to support that. She did not. She said it is her preference as a Christian that people wait until they are married to have children. Nowhere did she say that a child born out of wedlock is somehow a lesser child or a problem child as compared to the child born in a marriage. It's shocking shit this today on the media.
If she wasn't using religion as the justification for these beliefs, she wouldn't get away with it.
And he's really pissed off that she's getting away with it, you see. Christian woman. This is a Christian country, isn't it? Now, I can say this out loud because I'm not a far-right person. My politics are not on the far right. I'm, whatever I am, I'm not conservative, right? You've heard my views on all of these things. No problems whatsoever with people and their sexuality. I've had great friends who have been gay and lesbian. I stood up for the rights of gay people to get married, and I would do again. Not in church, by the way. I've made this clear. No, you don't belong in Christian churches getting married. Not because I think there's anything wrong with you, but they do. And they have the fucking right to think whatever they want to think. That's how it should be, right? So I'm not on the right, let alone on the far right, even though my Wikipedia page would say differently. I'm not. But this little tyrant, O'Brien, he let's hear a little bit more of this, just a little bit more. I've lost my train of thought there.
Would she? But I think she will get away with it.
Get away with it. She'll get away with it. Yeah, I mentioned Christian country. Even though I'm not religious, I am a religious, if I could describe it as such. Agnostic is maybe probably a fairer way to describe how I think about spiritual matters, right? So, but I kind of take it that the UK is a Christian country and founded the country on the principles of Christianity, well, at least the people, not the rulers of the UK historically, but the people of the country have taken their guidance from and their life lessons from the Christian text, namely the Bible, the King James Bible, right? And taken the Ten Commandments and the teachings of the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus Christ the prophet. And that's fundamentally the foundation for over the centuries, people. ordinary people, the ordinary men and women of society. So it's a Christian country. This guy is saying now that, now I'm not going to do to him what he did to Cade Forbes. I'm not going to misrepresent what he's saying, but he's kind of reaching the point where he's saying that, well, maybe you shouldn't be allowed use faith as your reasoning, your rationing, your rationalization when it comes to your opinion on whether it be same-sex marriage, same-sex couples adopting, children born out of wedlock. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed hold on to or use your religious upbringing or your faith or your membership of a church to justify that. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed. Maybe you should be cancelled. Yeah, it's 2 minutes to 4 o'clock. It is Friday the 24th of February and of course in the year of our Lord 2023. I'm Richie Allen. Still plenty to talk about, by the way. Lots to talk about. We're going to talk about digital IDs in a few minutes. Here are the Gypsy Kings for you.
Ese amor llega sin estar. Bamboleo, bamboleo.
The Gypsy Kings and Bamboleo, Bamboleo. Never saw the Gypsy Kings. Wouldn't mind seeing them live. It would be great crack altogether. It's a minute past 4 o'clock this Friday. I'm the BBG, Richie Allen, the Big Baldy Gammon. I've been on air since 3 o'clock if you've just joined me. And I'm thinking I'll go till about 4:30, maybe a little bit after that. Lots of content today. And I didn't have much time. I'm not looking for praise or credit at all. I don't do that. But I had very little time to put this together, but because I had other stuff going on as well. But 21 audio clips edited. Yeah, not bad today. I had to pull the reserves. I had to go back to my mainstream days, furiously working to a deadline, but I got it up and running. Thanks for your comments, by the way. RichieAllen.co.uk, the website. Indeed. It's good. It genuinely is good to hear from you today. Thank you. Let's scroll on down. Benny says, love these O'Brien segments. Don't apologise for them. He is a textbook example of the state of the media. Hi to Richard Kelly. Thanks for your comment, Richard. Hi to Charlie, who says, Richie, Cade Forbes is against gay marriage. What about Humza Yousaf? What does he think about gays then being a Muslim? Interesting to know his thoughts. Well, Charlie, as far as I understand, he has been silent. Well, when I say silent, I think he has basically said, look, my religious beliefs or my religion doesn't inform my politics. He's basically moving as far away from answering any questions on that subject as he possibly can. But if you look him up online and look for any recent news, maybe something else has happened. But this guy, this Muslim guy, Humza Yousaf, isn't it? Apparently, he's just not saying anything. Is doing his best to avoid the subject. And Noel says it's Puffin publishing the Roald Dahl books, not Penguin. Thank you, Noel. Yes, I think they've brought out two, haven't they? Now, because of all the flack they've received. So you can buy the original texts, the original books, or if you're worried about your children and you're a woke parent, you can buy new ones. Okay. Ardell says... Oh, yeah, we've done that already. Okay, it's 4 minutes past the hour. It's time to talk about something else. So let's do that then, shall we? Oh, God. Have you heard me rant on over the last few years? Because it's still a relatively recent development. Relatively recent. Whereby politicians, and by politicians, I mean politicians who currently hold an office of one type or another. MPs, members of the House of Lords, or whatever. And there is a phenomenon. It began about 5 years ago, and that is mainstream news organisations have been handing programmes to politicians who hold offices of state, right? You've heard me rant on about this, and I wonder, and please do, again, I have very thick skin. If you feel like screaming at me that you're tired of this, I promise you I'll drop it. But this is so serious. It's the Frank Grimes in the episode of The Simpsons moment, you know, professional Frank Grimes doing it properly. Cannot understand why Homer and Carl and all the rest of, and Lenny and all the rest of the idiots in the nuclear power plant are putting people's lives at risk by their idiocy. And he's there doing a good job, doing it properly, and eventually drives him mad. This is driving me mad. The media. What is its objective? What should the primary objective of the news media be? Fairly straightforward. Hold the government to account. Crawl up the arse of the government with an electron microscope every minute of the day. Seek every, go into every nook and cranny. Turn elected politicians upside down and shake them to see what falls out. Have no bias. Have no truck with political parties. Have no opinions on political parties or politicians, as best as you can do that. Leave them at the door. Turn them upside down and shake them and see what comes out. And do that on behalf of your viewers and listeners. That is your job. It couldn't be any more straightforward. Not only for decades has the media not been doing that in any real sense. In recent years, they have started to put these fuckers on the air and give them their own programmes. When you think about it, can you understand how maddening, how scary that is for a guy like me who's been a journalist now for over 25 years? Pregnant pause. Think about it. Not only will they not turn them upside down and expose them for the monstrous, grotesque, filthy, lying, controlled puppet bastards that they are, but they're now giving them fucking airtime on their own to say whatever it is they want to say. God almighty, there's another one. They've only just announced another one. It's Jacob Rees-Mogg.
I'm Jacob Rees-Mogg, the Member of Parliament for North East Somerset and a former government minister. For years, I've walked the corridors of power.
For years, I'd love to get a hold of him. For 2 minutes.
I'm Jacob Rees-Mogg, the Member of Parliament for North East Somerset and a former government minister. For years, I've walked the corridors of power in both Westminster and the City of London.
Scumbag. They're putting him on GB News now, 4 nights a week.
I campaigned in the largest democratic vote in our island story. I know this country has so much to be proud of. We need to have the arguments, the discussions on how we make it better. The wisdom of the nation is in its people. Vox Populi, Vox Dei. That's why I'm joining the People's Channel. Join me Monday to Thursday at 8 p.m. on GB News, Britain's news channel.
I just can't believe it. I cannot believe that this is allowed. I've said this too many times. You've heard me. It's a soapbox. I cannot believe that Ofcom puts up with it. If you're running the broadcast regulator, Jesus Christ, are you not sitting in your office going, it isn't bad enough that GB News and Talk TV, because they've all got them, they've all got politicians on the payroll now, and LBC are not holding these fuckers to account. They're giving them jobs. I mean, if ever this jingle was justified. I mean, right? They're giving them jobs. Join me, Jacob Rees-Mogg. For years. Of course you have, because you've had a safe seat for years, you rotten prick. To sit in the Commons and get $100,000 a year basic salary, not to mention the top-ups you get for being on various committees. You've done nothing for your constituents. All you've done is advance the Great Reset Agenda 30 agenda, you bastard. And now they're putting him on GB News 4 nights a week. Yeah, I'm dropping it. I'm not going to say any more about it. You won't hear another journalist in the country talking about this today, or tomorrow, or the day after that, because they don't give a shit. It is 9 minutes past four. Earlier this week, former Prime Minister Anthony Blair, murderer, genocidal maniac, Tony Blair, used to hang around toilets one time when he was younger, used the name Miranda, creepy bastard, Tony Blair. Honestly, look it up if you don't believe me. Filthy, filthy bastard. Tony Blair sat down with William Hague, a former leader of the Conservative Party. They believe that we should all have digital IDs on our smartphones, and that everything about us that is relevant to the government should be contained on the digital ID. Yeah, tyrants. Absolutely. Tyrants. Madmen. Very little opposition to this anywhere, apart from the independent media. Nigel Farage has been talking about it. He did one of those meet and greet things for GB News where they put an audience of people, carefully selected, of course, to ask questions to Tony Blair, to Nigel Farage, and this came up, the whole digital ID thing.
Tony Blair, of course, is now running an enormous business empire. He has a personal net worth of at least £60 million.
And so do you, Nigel.
He has perhaps some of the best connections with big government and big business.
So do you, Nigel.
Of anybody alive in the world today. And he is pushing this mass globalist agenda for big government and, frankly, complete control of our lives. We do, to a certain extent, live in a digital age already. You know, we do a heck of a lot of stuff online. It's password protected. We understand that. But this plan is you would have on your phone your digital ID, owned and controlled by the government, on which would be 40 sets of criteria. Your date of birth, your parents, your health records, your tax records, your credit records, your qualifications. I mean, virtually everything.
Your vaccines.
Oh, and I'm coming to that. I'm coming to that. Because Blair said a couple of months ago, we need a global digital ID for all the jabs that are to come. So they're clearly planning it. I mean, what he knows that we don't know is beyond me. The fact that William Hague joined him in this, I mean, they're not opponents. It's Tweedledum and Tweedledee. And I'm afraid, I feel, that an incoming Labour government will go in this direction. An existing Conservative government will go in this direction. I do not want the state having that amount of control over my life. I don't want to find myself outside the law because something's happened, such as the vaccine. I did take them, but I might have chosen not to.
He did take them.
And I think when it comes to government full digital ID, I think at some point, not yet, but at some point, we're going to have to fight the biggest battle we've ever fought for our individual personal liberty and freedom. And I'm going to be in that fight, Steve. I hope you will be too.
Yeah, of course he won't be in that fight. Nigel Farage's job is to make it look like there's opposition to what's going on. That's why Farage is on GB News. Please look into GB News and who owns it. I'm not going to do it for you. I've done it to death. I've mentioned it before on the programme. Farage is there to make it look like there's an opposition to it. He will do nothing personally to make sure that this doesn't come to pass. He will do nothing. He will take no risks because deep down he doesn't give a damn. It's very hard to understand that. And for many people, it's hard to accept it. And you'll say you don't have any proof of that, Richie. I don't, maybe. It's conjecture, certainly. But I've been watching these people for years and saying for feckin' years, they'll do nothing. They'll talk about it. They'll get very wealthy doing that. But they don't care. You know, Farage will say the right things for his audience, but he doesn't care. Really doesn't give a damn. He took the jabs. I'm sure he will continue to take the jabs. Yeah, you're screaming placebo at me. But then again, that's something else we don't know or can't prove. This is Friday's extra. Well, not extra, but programme in lieu of me not being with you yesterday. Thank you for your messages today. 13 minutes it is past 4 o'clock. I'm with you for another 20 minutes today. It's been a packed programme thus far. Lots and lots of things in the programme. Speaking of, do I have that clip at all? I wonder, do I have that clip? Oh yeah, Keir Starmer, who of course is the chosen one. We think he's the chosen one. Do we? Do we agree on that, you and me? We think that barring, I don't know, an alien invasion, Keir Starmer will lead the next government when the next election happens, whenever that is, whether it's late this year or maybe in the spring this year, I don't think so. But if it is next year, it'll be Labour, right? They've decided you've had 12, 13, 14 years of the Tories. Let's give Labour a go. It was quite funny. He tied himself up in knots on a BBC interview where he was asked repeatedly about whether he was friendly or had been friendly with Jeremy Corbyn when Keir Starmer served in Jeremy Corbyn's shadow cabinet. Because, as you will remember, Jeremy Corbyn did lead the Labour Party for about 3 years. Or was it four? 3 or 4 years. And then they were annihilated in the 2019 general election. Corbyn still cries foul, by the way, that he was robbed by very dark, sinister forces that didn't want a socialist government led by Jeremy Corbyn. Of course, Jeremy Corbyn is not a socialist either. He's a social democrat. Momentum is about the worst thing that could ever happen to a country like the UK, even when you take into consideration the current government, right? Anywho, this is funny because Starmer was a shadow minister in Corbyn's Labour Party, and he's being repeatedly asked about whether they were friends. It's hilarious. This is vaudeville.
There you are, shaking hands, looking like good pals.
This is a BBC presenter now, putting a photograph of Jeremy Corbyn and Keir Starmer in front of Keir Starmer, asking him, you're shaking hands, so you must have been pals.
Were you pals?
Well, look, I served in Jeremy's shadow cabinet. We got on. My business when I do a job is to try to get on and do the best job that I can. But I'm very clear in relation to Jeremy Corbyn. The first thing I said as Labour Party leader on the day I got elected, just under 3 years ago, was I will tear out anti-Semitism by its roots, and I meant it. And that meant I had to take action in relation to Jeremy Corbyn, and that is why Jeremy Corbyn will not stand at the next election as a Labour candidate. We have changed the Labour Party. It's unrecognisable from the party of 2019. Nobody really disputes that. They can argue about whether it's the right change or not, but nobody says, Keir, you haven't changed the Labour Party. But we have changed the Labour Party, and we're not going back. And that's why Jeremy Corbyn won't be standing as a Labour candidate, and we move forward with confidence as a party into the next general election.
No. So he wouldn't be drawn on whether he's friends with Jeremy Corbyn. So let's try ask him, is he friends with Angela Rayner, the deputy leader of the Labour Party?
Have you lost him as a friend? Because he said...
Have you lost him as a friend? This is the BBC now.
No, he never considered you a friend. A friend is someone who you hang out with, who comes round for tea.
Well, we were never friends in that sense.
You were never friends?
No.
And does it matter if you look at sort of Angela Rayner now? Are you and she friends? Would you go round to her house?
This is the BBC.
Oh, Andrew and I are very much friends.
And you do go round for tea?
Yeah, I talk to Andrew all of the time, and Andrew's incredible.
You get a chance to interview Keir Starmer, who championed, who screamed for more lockdowns. He screamed for more devastation of businesses through lockdowns. Didn't challenge the government on a jot of lockdown policy. Demanded more of it. You've got him in there. You've got this cretin in there who can't define what a woman is. And you sit down and you start asking him about his friends. BBC in 2023, 17 minutes past the hour. Thank you for your comments. It's the Richie Allen Show, Friday's programme, the 24th of February, 2023. You looking forward to your weekend? I am. It's been a busy old week for me. I'm looking forward to the weekend and the League Cup final on Sunday, the Carabao Cup final between Newcastle and Manchester United. It kicks off at 4:30. On Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. Al says, if the Conservatives and the Labour Party are two cheeks of the same arse and the Lib Dems are somewhere in the middle, does that mean the Lib Dems are arse holes? Says Al. You can make the argument, Al. Hi to Christine. How are you, Christine? How are you? She says, they are all creeps. The likes of Tony Murderer Blair should be in jail, or they should all be on an island cast adrift. Yeah. Funny you say that, Christine. That was always my answer. People used to say Nuremberg and all this garbage. You know, put them on trial and hang them. No, these are animals, these people. They're monsters. You saw what they did to Saddam Hussein. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that Saddam Hussein was an angel. No, he certainly wasn't an angel. And he wasn't always good to, you know, some communities in Iraq. He wasn't always good to his neighbour. Remember, Saddam Hussein did the bidding of the United States in Iran. He tried to bomb Iran off the map at the behest of the United States. Not saying he's a good guy, but he was their bad guy. But what they did to him, and that execution, that grotesque, horrendous execution. People used to say to me, oh, Blair and Brown, Alistair Campbell, execute them. I've always said, no, you don't do what they do to prove them wrong and to build a new society. I like the exile thing. Give everybody a fair trial where they get proper representation and proper due process. And if, because you can't prejudge these things, even though we know what happened, if they are found guilty, yeah, find an island for them where they can grow food and where they can fish and put them on it and leave them there for the rest of their lives. Absolutely, 100%. That's how I would do it. Nothing worse than to be exiled, to be driven from the country, from your community, and told, you don't belong here, you madman. 3 million people, I said it earlier on. You know, we say these things out loud. We say them in such a throwaway manner. 3 million people in Iraq. 'Twas over 4 million in Vietnam. 'Twas millions and millions in the Second World War. Millions of people. In the First World War, again, 20, 25, 30 million people killed by madmen, by a handful of madmen, deciding this is what we're going to do. Makes me laugh. I was thinking today, you know, speaking about Ukraine, we talked about this at the top of the programme. You know, as they talk about China, do you listen to reporters on the television and the language they use? Well, China says this and China says it was... What do you mean when you say China? Do you mean the Communist Party in China? Or do you mean the 1.6 billion Chinese? By the way, don't shout at me if I've misrepresented the Chinese population. I probably have. Is it 1.2, 1.3, 1.6? It's amazing, isn't it? Well, the United States is saying tonight, what? What do you mean the United States is saying tonight? There's 260 million people living there. The people don't want this shit. The people of the United States, the people of Ireland, the people of the United Kingdom, of France, of Germany, of Bulgaria, of Oman, they don't want this fucking shit. So when you say, well, the Qataris are saying, who do you mean? You mean the puppets that are allegedly running those countries. That's what you mean. The people who were elected in some cases by citizens of those countries who didn't really understand what they were doing. Well, I did actually. I voted for Joe Biden. Yeah, but you didn't really vote for Joe Biden. You didn't. You voted for a puppet who's controlled from dusk till dawn by the architects of an agenda that is hell-bent on wiping humanity off the fucking planet. That's who you voted for. You voted for Biden. I voted for Bernie Sanders. He's a socialist. He is in my arse. Another puppet. You thought you were voting for him or her, but you were basically voting for the people who control them. Think about it every time you watch the news. Well, it'll be interesting to see what China does. What do you mean what China does? Again, 1.5 billion people. Are they collectively coming together to say, yes, let's give Russia as much or as much help militarily, munition-wise, as they need in order for them to succeed in Ukraine? Is that the Chinese people's wish? Was it the wish of the British people in 2003, 2004, that Tony lying bastard genocidal maniac and Alistair Campbell and Gordon Brown joined the United States in bombing Afghanistan and Iraq into oblivion? Was that the general wish of the people of this country, of this island? No, is the answer. Nearly everybody in the country was against it. And I'm sure in Australia they were doing news reports saying, well, the UK is standing firmly alongside George Bush and the United States. The UK! Of course, a million people took to the streets in London, in Trafalgar Square, in Leicester Square, in the Mall, everywhere, said, we don't agree with bombing a country that has never said boo to our country, that has never done us any harm. We don't agree with it, but they did it anyway. So what do you mean when you say, well, Russia? What do you mean when you say Ukraine? You mean the puppets who were put into those positions by the architects of the agendas that I mentioned earlier on. And that's a distinction that's really important to make for people. Maybe when you're talking to the perplexed, you know, the people who kind of know there's something really wrong, but they don't know as much as you know. That's a good starting point. When they say China, who do they mean exactly? What is China? It's a country where most people get up in the morning and go to work to try and pay the bills. And when they went to the ballot boxes, and of course in China they don't do that, so let's leave China out for the minute. Let's talk about the UK. When they went to the ballot box, they voted for a man or a woman who promised that they would make their lives better and easier, and that they would create, through their endeavours, a great future for children. That's what I voted. I don't vote. I haven't voted since 2002. But that's what people would tell you. Yeah, they gave us a manifesto. They promised more hospital beds. They promised safer streets. They promised less knife crime. They said there would be better jobs, more viable jobs, jobs that wouldn't be zero hours contracts jobs, jobs that had, you know, long-lasting jobs with good paying conditions. They made all these promises. So we voted them in. What happened then? None of the above. What did they do? They started prosecuting wars overseas. They started giving billions and billions of pounds worth of weapons to Saudi Arabia to drop on Yemen. They never said that in the manifesto. No, they didn't. Because the manifesto was a load of bollocks. And it wasn't written by the Conservative Party. It was written by a think tank on the orders of another organisation slightly further up the pyramid. That's what it is. So next time they say, you know, well, Italy's not going to go along with this at the UN. What do you mean, Italy? Don't ask me. 60 million, 70 in Italy, I don't know. 70 million, 80 million in Germany. Germany says, who? What do you mean, Germany? Anyway, it's a thought for the weekend. Listen, I've ranted on long enough today. I think I'll take my leave of you now. Thanks for being with me. It's going to be on the usual podcast platforms in about 10 minutes. If you happened in on the end of it. The first 45 minutes, very good. Good news roundup in the first 45 minutes. At least I think so. Where was I? Yeah, I'm going to be back with you on Sunday morning. Of course I am. We're going to have a special League Cup final Sunday morning melodies. No, we're not. Don't panic. Not going to do that to you. Sunday morning melodies live at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. It's me. It's a few older tunes, it's a few classic tunes and a few stories. I love the programme and I look forward to it every week.
Sunday Morning Melodies with BBG on RichieAllen.co.uk.
Yeah, I do look forward to it every Sunday at 10 o'clock UK time, 2 hours between 10 and noon. It is repeated then later on at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock and what have you. Hey, listen, thanks again. I've already said that for being with me. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Look after yourselves and one another. Hope you can join me on Sunday. If not, if it's not your thing, join me at 5 o'clock sharp on Monday evening, when a guest who hasn't been on the programme for a few years will be back. Sandy Adams will be on the programme with me for a lovely chat on Monday. And I think the week is full with guests next week as well. So good week lined up for you. So join me on Monday at 5 if Sunday Morning Melodies is not your thing. And I've enjoyed myself this afternoon. Thanks again. Right. Great weekend, one and all. Bye. See you on Sunday. Bye.